This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Now, if you've ever visited Galway, you'll know there's a certain magic about it. Whether it's in the music drifting out of the pubs, the buzz that's around the streets, or just the culture you see, you're almost automatically roped in. Three Lads have created a walking experience that's all about showing people the real Galway. It's called Stroll to the Stout, a guided walk through the city built around trad music, local stories, GAA culture, good food and genuine connection. What started as a small summer idea by teacher Ulton O'Reilly has quickly grown into something much bigger. It's small group tours designed to feel less like a tourist attraction and more like being shown around Galway by your friends. Joining me now is Ulton, the founder of Stroll to the Stout, to tell us all about it. First off, Ulton, I love the name Stroll to the Stout. It really does tell you exactly what the tour is. How did the whole idea come about for this?
Funny enough, you should mention the name. It was initially called Sip and Stroll. And I remember talking to a friend about nearly a year and a half ago. I said, oh, I got a good business. It's called Sip and Stroll. And he goes, Jesus, I didn't know that you could drink on the streets in Galway. And I said, no, you can't.
No, you can't.
And then I was like, oh, that kind of gives that name a different type of meaning. So the whole thing of strolling to the stout was walking to a pint, just put in a different way. So the walk itself around Galway City to a pint was actually made by my brother. I'll give him a bit of credit there. So he came up with the words or the name Stroll to the Stout. And like I said, like the concept itself was just about how do you make, like what do I think about when it comes to Galway? And the first thing that came to my mind was a pint. So pints, bit of music, and just how do you kind of have a tangible thing that keeps all that together? And then that's where the Polaroid came out of. So that's essentially where the idea came from.
Talk to me about what exactly happens on the tour for people that are hearing about it for the first time. I know you've mentioned there's the traditional music element of it. There's the walk through the city. People get to pour their own pint at the end if they want to. They get the Polaroid. What else am I missing from that?
We also, again, what did I think about when I thought of Ireland in general was the GAA. So I was like, how do I get the GAA in here? So we put on an All-Ireland final on the back screen when they're having their dinner. So we give them food as well when they get to the place. And in the background, we have an All-Ireland hurling final on, which kind of paints the scene of like a local pub that you'd find anywhere in rural Ireland, I guess. And as well as that, then, like I said, the staple that we have is the whole pour your own pint and get that Polaroid photo at the end. And then for some groups, then we were able to accommodate musicians. So again, when it comes to Galway, the music scene is absolutely huge. So we wanted to make sure that it was kind of like less your paddy hat type thing where it was a bit fake and just give it a good kind of local feel to it. So the musicians add a completely different dynamic to it when they're eating their food and watching the game of hurling on the screen.
It really does add to the excitement because All-Ireland final day is a special type of excitement. So it's amazing to have that on in the background and the live music element too. It really is encapsulating all things Irish in one go. I know you've said I know you've said in the past that when visitors asked what Galway was really about, that you didn't think the existing tours captured it. What did you feel was missing from other tours before you set this up?
I felt, no, don't get me wrong now, there's a few really good tours that are out there at the moment as well. But for me, it was kind of, again, kind of circulating around how to pour a pint of Guinness or a pint of stout in general. And I feel like that's something that's so kind of, if you ask anyone that's Irish, how do you do it? They're like, oh, I did it there a few years ago when I was working behind the local bar. But for a person that's coming to Ireland and considering that stout is such a well-branded thing that we produce in Ireland, I just thought that the element on the art of actually pouring a pint was not included in any of the tours that were out there. So that's how I tried to integrate it. That's how I tried to integrate it into the tour that we came up with last year.
And I know there's a few of you involved in this. Has this become a full-time gig for you guys, or are you balancing it with other work?
I've been trying to balance it the last few months now. So I actually was a teacher, secondary school teacher up in Dublin, and we recently got our holidays there last week. So up until now, I've been trying to manage both, and this is now my full-time job. I've actually handed in the resignation to the school to take this full-time for the year. So it's a bit of a leap, and I'm so thankful that I have two lads that are working with me and two lads that I'm happy to call my best friends as well. So we're all in it together, and the lads are balancing the two different jobs that they have, but it makes it easier, but more importantly, it makes it very, very enjoyable.
That there's a lot to unpack from that. First off, I was about to be like, you're so lucky you have the summer holidays off, but now that this is your full-time job, you're even more lucky because you can speak with such passion about it. I know that you keep the groups intentionally small, as the three of you all do that in general on the Stroll to the South tours. Why was that important from the beginning?
Because no more than not wanting it to be kind of fake, we didn't want it to be lost either. Look, even from a teacher's point of view, when you're teaching a classroom, it's much easier to teach a smaller group of people compared to a big group of 30, you know? Same thing applies when you're doing a tour. It's much more intimate. You know, the person that's on the tour feels like, you know, that it's for Valerie or it's for Mary or it's for John. It's for those people. So if it's a smaller group, it's just to do with the overall intimacy of that tour in general.
It can be good, I think, sometimes to have the numbers smaller because you do feel like you can ask questions and you're not getting lost in the tour. Any tour I've ever done in any country or any tourist experience, you feel like a bit of an Egypt at the back if you want to ask a question. Yeah. So at least that is not so much of a factor here. Would you have groups of pals coming along, even from Ireland in general?
You would, yeah. You'd have, like, I'm from Castlebar, and you had a few people come from Castlebar last summer and from Westport and from a few other spots. And you'd be like, oh, Jesus, like, and look, I lived in here for 5 or 6 years and I didn't know half the stuff that I researched and learned to become to start up the business. So Galway has so much to it, more than any city across the world does. So it's as much knowledge for a local person as a person coming here on holidays, to be totally honest.
I would think from Mayo, even myself, I would agree because I was in Galway for a few years as well, and there's so many different sides of Galway that you don't get to see while you're there. You just don't see it, and then when you can come back in this way, it must be really, really fulfilling. I know you probably speak with a lot of tourists as well, naturally enough. If people are planning a trip to Galway, aside from doing the Stroll to the South tour, what other things would you recommend they do while they're in Galway?
There's so many things to do in Galway that are just completely free. You know, going for a nice walk on the prom in Salt Hill, going to Blackrock Diving Tower for a swim, go down to the West End in Galway. There's some cracking pubs down there. As well as that, just listen to the trad music that you'd see on Shop Street or in Air Square or anywhere. It's a magical place now at times.
Definitely magical is how I would also describe it. When you were setting this up in the beginning, what were some unforeseen obstacles you came across that you weren't expecting, if there were any?
Oh, absolutely. Sure, there's obstacles today, let alone this day last year. The main obstacle that I probably had when setting it up was realising how big of a field marketing is. Because, you know, if you have a cafe now, for instance, or any type of business that has repeat customers that like what you do when they go back to you, what we do is very kind of different. No matter how good we do, if we do a 10 out of 10 job, we're never going to see the customer again unless they come with the family the following year. You know, like it's kind of a different aspect to it. So our job really is, now, don't get me wrong, quality is still number one, but number two then right behind it is how to get our brochures, our business in front of the people that we want initially, because there's no such thing as repeat customers. There's no loyalty, you know?
I hadn't even thought of that, because the people that you're seeing do the experience, and even if they think it's amazing, they're not necessarily going to do the experience again.
Exactly. Compared to if you go to a cafe, you get a good cup of coffee. Like today now at Diplomas in town, and lovely cup of coffee. I'll definitely going to go back there now tomorrow or the day after. That's the way most businesses work. But it's just, it's a funny different element, and just kind of adapting to how to actually market to your customer base. I haven't figured it out. This time next year, I won't have it figured out. But it's all just about marketing is such a big field, and it's that itself has been the biggest obstacle in how to get in front of customers.
How important has social media been for you guys?
Social media is good, and it should be enjoyable. Myself and the lads are heavy on not being robotic whatsoever, no more than the tours, not being a lecturer, not being a PowerPoint, not being fussed about dates. How do you make someone actually laugh? How do you make someone smile? How do you make someone actually enjoy what they're watching or what they're doing or what they're learning about? Like, no more than the pint at the end. Like, that's the kind of signature that we have. But to go back to the marketing, TikTok and Instagram are massive in terms of what you're doing. Like, if you're going to go down to, I don't know, Edinburgh for the weekend, a lot of people, including myself, would just look something up on TikTok, things to do. And then you'd look at one or two videos and then that'd be it. And then probably the second thing you do is ask a friend, have you been here before? What would you do? So marketing itself is essential because it comes from that kind of instinct of looking something up on Instagram, and you want to make sure that you're somewhere there, thereabouts, you know, like the amount of times that people would look up things to do in X or Y. And you just want to make sure that you're there in terms of like the top video-ish.
I am guilty of that myself, and I can see why that would be really, really powerful for you guys on social media. If there was someone listening this evening who might be inspired by what you have managed to achieve in all of this, and now you're going to go full time with it, what advice would you have for someone starting out on their own venture about something they're inspired by?
I'd say don't get into it unless you really, really like it, because it's a lot of work. There was mornings where I'd be up at 5:30 or 6:00 before school working at this, and then you'd be doing it then after school. But it wouldn't really seem like a chore. It would seem like something that you genuinely like. So if you can kind of disguise it as a thing that you like instead of work, then you're onto a winner. You know, if it feels like work, if it feels like a chore, that's just the body telling you that's probably not something that you should be doing.
That's really good advice. I think a lot of people come on and they say, you know, if it's something you're passionate about, go for it. But it's also good to be able to differentiate and say, if it's something that you think you're going to find really difficult and you're not that sure, don't leap until you're kind of sure, maybe.
Yeah, like, because there is like, look, no risk, no reward. I believe in that too. But there is such thing as calculated risk. You know, like in our tours, like, you know, you'd love to have a load of different elements in the tours, but like you have to also weigh up the risk of it too. So it's definitely something to pursue if you think you have the backing of it.
Well, where can we find you on socials, Alton, if people are interested in doing a trip to Galway for a stroll to the Stout, or even just follow along with what you guys get up to?
So if they look up Stroll to the Stout on either TikTok or Instagram, they'll see our pages come up straight away. And more importantly, our website, strolltothestout.com, is there, and they can book any one of our three tours on that website too. And then as well as that, we actually offer this whole kind of experience to hens, to corporates, to stags. We hire the musicians, we locate the area with the venue, and we're able to obviously pour the pint at the end of it as well.
Amazing. Alton, thank you so much for joining me on iRadio's group chat, and the best of luck with a very busy summer season, no doubt.
Thank you very much, Valerie.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.